In the last weeks of March 1931, Elliot Ness and his Untouchables were hitting hard at the Capone Empire. Every day, gunshots rattled the concrete as Ness led his men in raid after raid.
It evokes the days of G-Men and J. Edgar Hoover and the old days of Tommy guns, right? Gangsters and the FBI. Well, the FBI's 10 most wanted list actually came into existence in 1950. Now, that's 60 years old today. On March 14th, 1950, a guy named Thomas Holden became the very first man to be put on the top 10 list. He earned the distinction as a noted bank robber and train robber who killed his wife and her two brothers. Now, a little over a year later, Holden was arrested when a man reported his whereabouts after seeing his picture on a most wanted poster. Well, are most wanted posters a thing of the past? Because now we have most wanted apps, believe it or not, for that iPhone or your handheld handhold PDA. The list has become something of a hyping tool, and the FBI is swerving into the digital era. FBI historian John Fox is here to tell us about how the list has been working since that successful start way back in 1950. Dr. Fox, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi. So give us something on the numbers here. How many people have been on the FBI's most wanted list, and how many people have been captured?
Well, we've had over 490, I believe it's about 494 people on the list since it was started. And of those, 463 have either been captured or located. You know, sometimes someone's taken off the list because of court action or things like that.
So that's a hit rate. I'm not great at math like John Hockenberry is, but that's a hit rate of over 90%.
It is a very good hit rate, yes. And about a third of those have been because of citizen participation, which, of course, is the purpose of the list.
So with most wanted posters, you know, they're not on the post office wall anymore, as, you know, communities used to. The post office was the center of life, and they're not so much anymore. How is the top 10 list working now? Just television advertisements, billboards? How's the FBI getting the list out to people these days?
Well, really through a wide range of media, from TV shows like America's Most Wanted to, of course, the internet to digital billboards. We have a number of those digital billboards around the country that will post fugitive information
off the side of highways you're talking about.
Yes, sir.
You know, Dr. Fox, you know, that 90% success rate reminds me that J. Edgar Hoover was a fabulous self-promoter there in Washington, as you well know, down through history. Is it possible the 10 most wanted list is actually the 10 most nearly caught list?
Well, considering that some of these people have been on the list for a very long time, and certainly over history, the average rate is not a matter of days, but often a matter of months. No, some of them have been captured even before we could get the publicity out. There's a small handful of them, but most of them, the publicity got out, and it was often a help. As I said, about a third of our captures have been because of citizen tips.
And John Fox, what is the longest amount of time a fugitive has spent on the 10 most wanted list?
I don't have that at the tip of my tongue, but it is, about 20 years.
Wow. Oh, yeah. 20 years on the run. Well, the whole idea of the FBI having the list is to keep fugitives from being on the run for 20 years. And I want to turn now to Ken Hoffman. He's the unit chief over the investigative publicity unit at the FBI. Mr. Hoffman, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, the FBI, as I said earlier, is moving away from the post office poster and swerving into social media. Describe for me exactly the new 10 most wanted list. What does it look like?
Well, since about 1996, we've posted all of our information about the 10 most wanted on our website. That was done mostly to increase visibility, and it really takes our 10 most wanted list beyond the borders of the United States. It used to be if you wanted to know who was on the list, you had to stop at a post office. That's not the case anymore. You can just log right on onto our website. In addition to that, we've moved more into social media using tools like Twitter and Facebook and YouTube.
Well, Ken, I'm wondering, it is one of the first sort of calls for crowdsourcing, and it goes way back to the 90s, as you say. But I'm wondering if you want to enlarge it. I mean, if I had an app on my iPhone, I think I'd be much more interested in a, 10,000 most wanted list and be able to see who's moving where from time to time. And I'd be much more interested in that than just 10. Maybe you want to enlarge it, 1,000, maybe 100.
Well, on our website and through our other investigative publicity means, using social networking, we do provide information about other fugitives and missing persons and missing children and unknown victims. But the thing about the 10 Most Wanted program is very focused, and our purpose there is to focus people on the people that we think are the fugitives that we think are the biggest menace to society, the people with the longest records of criminal activity, and the people that we really think that the publicity is going to do some good to try to find them.
Now, Ken Hoffman, how many times to date have you nailed a fugitive and the tipster called in and said, I saw him on Twitter?
Well, I can't say we've had anyone yet, but right. I will say that we do have 33,000 followers on Twitter right
really?
Now.
Really? 33,000? More than I have.
And that's only, you know, we've only had Twitter running for, in the FBI here, for probably the last 12 or 14 months.
Right. Well, you also have tie-ins with digital billboards and jumbotrons at ball games. So the idea is flash up a fugitive's picture down at the baseball game, and you might see him on the way home.
That's correct. We'll put him where we have the most set of eyes. You know, I like to talk about one of our most successful billboard captures, and that's actually we had a mother who was driving down the highway and saw her son on a billboard, and she turned to her son in the passenger seat and said, why is your face up on that billboard?
And he said,
The dog ate my homework.
Right.
And
she pulled over and called the FBI. Well, that's crowdsourcing at its very finest, family sourcing. Ken Hoffman is unit chief over the investigative policy unit at the FBI, joining us to talk about the new look of the FBI's 10 Most Wanted list, John.
Which is 60 years old this month. You can see a slideshow of some of the FBI's most historic wanted criminals at thetakeaway.org. And coming up, our work segment. We're talking about the gender change in the workforce in this recession. More Mommies, the Family Breadwinner.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924... we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.